The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the Golden Age of Radio, Park Ranger Bill Jefferson investigates burning sands on an episode of Ranger Bill, and we'll also hear about the clue of the saber on Cimarron Tavern. Stay tuned for the Golden Age of Radio right after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, the clue of the saber on an episode of Cimarron Tavern. Right now, Park Ranger Bill Jefferson investigates burning sands on an episode of Ranger Bill as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Warrior of the woodland, struggling against extreme odds, traveling dangerous trails, fighting the many enemies of nature. This is the job of the guardian of the forest, Ranger Bill. Pouring rain, freezing cold, blistering heat, snow, floods, bears, rattlesnakes, mountain lions. Yes, all this in exchange for the satisfaction and pride of a job well done. This is a lazy day in Knotty Pine. The rangers are strolling down one of the town's shady streets, heading toward the town's old general store. The old store is a landmark of the days when the West was wild and woolly, and it's run by Mark Daggert. Many of the townsfolk visit the store to hear the old cowhands and prospectors, desert rats as they call them, swap yarns. Now let's join Bill and the boys as they head for the store. Little do they know that they're heading for one of the most grueling experiences of their lives. Listen now for the story, Burning Sand. You know, Bill, I like to visit Mark's store. It smacks of the old West. Sort of gives you a feeling that you're living back in those times again.
Yes, Ralph. There's a lot of history centered in Mark's old general store. You know, I get a kick out of listening to those old cowpokes and desert rats spinning their yarns, each trying to outdo the other.
Yes, sir. There's a lot of competition there.
You don't think that most of their stories are made up, do you, Bill?
No. Essentially, there's a lot more truth in them than most people think. Of course, the old-timers do add a little color to their yarns.
Like somebody else we know of?
Now, see here, young feller. Don't look at me that way. I'd have you know I don't color up my yarns.
Not even a little bit, Stumpy?
Nope. I'd give you the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Well, maybe you just put a little tint to your tails, huh, Stumpy?
Well, maybe I should say, I guess I do sort of tint them up once in a while, just to make them interesting.
Quit picking on the old-timer, fellas. You enjoy Stumpy's yarns just as much as the rest of us.
Yeah, it looked like a big crowd in store. Many old-timers there.
Yeah, maybe we'll see some more hair-raising tales about the old engine days.
Well, whoever has the floor, it's my guess that Stumpy will go them one better.
Now, wait a minute, Clintara.
Give them a chance, boys.
That's right, Stumpy, five of them.
Just five? What's the matter? Were you two fellers weak that day or just plumb lazy?
Now, you see here, you old cougar.
I it should have taken only one of you to finish five of them off. The other could have gone about his business.
Yeah, is that right? Well, I ain't seen you do any better.
You ain't. Did I ever tell you about the fracas me and Big Jim Hansen had at Hooker Pass with a gang of desperados? Why, I'm telling you when I...
Howdy, Josh.
Hey, where you been keeping yourself, Joshua? Ain't seen you for a month of Sundays.
Oh, I've been busy, Mark.
Suppose you've been looking for gold again, huh, Josh?
That's right. Been prospecting. What'd you expect from an old desert rat like me?
When are you gonna give up looking for fool's gold, Josh?
I expect when they dig your grave, they'll find gold, Joshua. You got gold fever that bad? Fool's gold, eh? Gold fever, huh? Let me show you fellas something that'll make your eyes bulge. There it is, boys. You think I've been wasting my time on the desert, eh?
You haven't got gold in that sack, Josh.
I ain't, huh? What'd you call this?
Why? Look at that!
Well, don't stand there with your mouth open, Mark Dagger. Set me up some supplies and grub. I got some more work to do. Ain't nothing to get excited about.
What do you mean, Joshua? Ain't gold findings like that something to get excited about?
Yeah.
No, it ain't. This was just a small pocket, and I cleaned it out.
Where'd you find the small pocket, Josh?
Now, that would be telling, wouldn't it? Why don't you go out and hunt your own gold, like I've been doing for 30 years?
Fellas, that was big thrill to see Joshua pour gold nuggets out on counter. And easy to understand how men catch gold fever.
That's right, Grey Wolf. But old Joshua's been prospecting for 30 years. And this is only the fourth small find he's made. Not much reward after all, is it?
A lot of work for a little pay, if you ask me.
Almost like work for nothing.
Yep. That ain't the worst part of it, young feller. When you think of a desert rat being on the hot sand and in the cold mountains, year in and year out, all by himself. Never gets to see people, lives like a hermit. Just him and his burrow, why, it's awful.
Skin get like old horsehide from sun and wind. Get frostbite in cold winter. Not much satisfaction, I think.
You fellas forget that these desert rats wouldn't have it any other way. And if that's the way Joshua wants to live, that's his business. The only thing is, I think he's flirting with real danger if he keeps going out there in the desert now.
What do you mean? Is it any more dangerous now than it was before, Bill?
For him, it is. Joshua's getting to be an old man now. The heat of the desert is hard enough for a young man to take at this time of the year. Say nothing about a man of 70. Josh better be careful.
Well, these kind always die with their boots on. And there's not much you can do about it. What's on the docket for tomorrow?
Hard work. That's all I can tell you now. Rest well tonight. We hit the trail for 3 weeks in the morning.
Where are we heading first, Bill?
Up the Long Ridge Trail, Ralph. We got some scrub to clean out of a virgin stand of pine. Then we head for the North Forks and repair the soil conservation dams there.
Somebody on the road ahead. Say, it looked like old Joshua Whip.
Hey, it not only looks like old Josh, it is him. He must be going back into the desert.
Let's stop and talk with him for a minute. Whoa, Storm. Hello, Joshua.
Howdy, Bill. Howdy, fellas.
Howdy, Josh.
Heading out into the desert again, Josh?
Yep, that's what I'm doing.
Why, you not take it easy for a while, Joshua?
No, I can't do that, Grey Wolf. I get the itch if I set a spell. Got to keep going.
It wouldn't hurt you any to set a spell, you old desert rat. Someday you're going to overdo it. You'll set permanent, 6 feet under.
Never you mind, Stumpy Jenkins. I'm old enough to take care of myself.
I'm sure you are, Josh, but Stumpy's right just the same. It's awfully hot out there in the desert. You're not a young man anymore. You could at least stay in town until the summer's over.
Are you fellas that trying to keep me from finding gold? Why don't you mind your own business? I can take care of myself. Now get.
I didn't mean to offend you, Josh. I only wanted to remind you that it's dangerous. It's 120 degrees out there at this time of the year.
I don't need your advice, I tell you.
All right. So long, Josh. Let's go, boys. Come on, Storm. Gray Wolf, we'll have to cut down this tree. It's too far gone. The disease may spread.
Ah, good.
You cut the fall guide, will you? Well, I start on the underside and cut away the trunk.
Okay, Bill. This tree not too big. Not take long.
Our job is to trap some of these trout and put tags on them.
You study their traveling habits, Bill?
Right. Ralph, would you like to set out those water traps?
Sure, I'll have them in there in a jiffy, Bill.
And Gray Wolf, you take motion pictures of the schools of trout swimming by.
Me too.
What's that for, youngster?
Well, the idea is later we can set the projector on slow motion and count the number of trout that have passed the camera in a given length of time.
That give us idea how many fish in river to spawn and go back downstream.
Yes. You see, we'll count that number that pass in a 15-minute period, multiply by four to get an hourly figure, then a day, then a week, and so forth. Only approximate, of course, but the figure comes out amazingly close.
Well, they've sure come a long way since I first started working for Uncle Sam.
Town seems kind of crowded after being on the trail 3 weeks, doesn't it, Bill?
Sure does, Ralph. Say, I wonder if Joshua Webb came back. He'd been gone 3 weeks. Didn't have more than 2.5 weeks supplies with him when he left.
I hope old timer make grade.
Say, Mark's store's just down the road a piece. Let's stop by and see.
No, Bill, I ain't seen Joshua, which ain't no surprise to me. That guy's got gold fever so bad he don't have sense enough to come in out of the heat.
Do you think he could stretch his supplies this long, Mark? It's 3 weeks now.
Maybe he'd short ration himself, make the supplies last that much longer. That's so.
It's possible that he could stretch his food and water a whole week longer that way, Bill.
Yep. Old Josh could squeeze water out of a stone if he put his mind to it.
All right, I'll buy that for 2 days, fellas. But if Joshua doesn't show up in that time, we're going out on the desert and look for him.
Say, Bill, look hard for Joshua Webb, will you? As much fun as I poke at him, I still like the old desert rat. And I hope you find him in time.
Oh, Storm. Easy, boy. Easy. Now, we'll find him, Mark. I hope we're not too late, though. We'll let you know as soon as we can what's happened. All right, Storm boy, let's go. Come on, boy. Don't let the pack horses drag, Ralph. Keep them stepping along.
Okay, Bill. I'll keep moving.
Where do you figure to look first for Josh, Bill?
We'll follow his trail going out in the desert and watch for a back trail.
Must be out on desert soon. It's plenty hot there now.
Burning sand, Gray Wolf. Miles and miles of nothing else but.
It's plenty hard on man and animal.
Oh, we better slow down once we get out on the sand. The horses couldn't take this pace in that heat.
Hey, fellas, look.
Yeah?
Over by that bunch of scrub. There's something laying on the ground.
Great Scott. There's a burrow standing there, too.
Come on.
Yeah. Hey, Storm. Well, looks like the gold fever finally got the old fella.
Whoa, Storm.
Whoa there, Matilda.
Yeah, Josh, all right. He's still alive. We'll try to revive him as much as we can, then get him to the hospital. How's our prospecting friend coming along, Doc?
Well, if you're talking about this old desert rat, Bill, he's doing fine. A week of rest, he'll be up and around. But he shouldn't go back out in the desert again for a long while. Well, you talk with him a while. I've got to finish making my rounds. I'll see you later, fellows.
So long, Doc.
Imagine him telling me I can't go back out in the desert for a long time. No man is going to tell me what to do.
Why, you old buzzard, it would do you good to listen to some sound advice once in your life. You're too cantankerous.
Remember, Josh, you're not a spring chicken anymore.
You flirt with death if you go back there now.
Ain't you going to give me a piece of your mind, too, Bill?
I was just getting ready to, Joshua.
I'll go ahead.
I agree with my rangers and the doctor. You'd be endangering your own life if you went out in the desert again. But there's more to it than that.
What do you mean?
I mean you ought to start enjoying life a little. Mix in with people more.
No, I like prospecting too much to be bothered with people.
Gold won't buy your life back if you lost it, Joshua.
I ain't afraid to die, young man. When the good Lord's ready to call me home, I'm ready.
Well, that's good, but think of the things in life that you've missed, that every human being enjoys. You've got enough money from your last strike to tide you over for the rest of your life.
That's right.
Why, sure, Josh. You and me could go hunting and fishing together. We could set a spell over in Mark's store and talk with the boys of an evening.
Now you got me thinking that I might like staying in town.
Well, why not give it a try for a while?
Well, I might, but I ain't got no place to stay.
Why, you old walrus, you can stay at my place just as long as you please. It ain't nothing fancy, but it's homey.
Thanks, Stumpy. I think I'll take you up on that and try civilized life for a while.
Then you're definitely going to give up prospecting for gold in the desert, Joshua?
In the desert?
Yes.
Well, Bill, you know there's gold in more places than the desert.
Oh, sure. Well, Josh, it's come down to this, then. Are you going to give up prospecting, or aren't you?
Yep, I am going to give it up. From now on, I'm going to enjoy life.
Josh, put it there. You've made a good decision. Fellas, we'll have to get packed as fast as we can. Tom says the Scotch Pine up at the North Forks have been hit by a strange new disease. They're wasting away.
That beautiful stand, worth much money.
That's right. We can't afford to lose either the beauty or the money. Ralph, you finish packing the burros. I'm going back to the office and get the portable lamp. We've got to make a thorough study of this new disease.
Okay, burros will be ready by the time you get back. And Gray Wolf, give me a hand with this diamond hitch, will you?
Oh, sure thing.
Hey, somebody's coming in a big hurry.
Plenty quick. Hey, it's Stumpy.
What's wrong, Stumpy? Why all the hurry?
I rode over to tell you about Josh. He ain't been home for 2 days.
Well, why didn't you tell us sooner, old-timer?
Well, I didn't think much about it, Bill. The first night, he could have stayed at Mark Daggett's house, but when he didn't come home last night, I began to get worried.
Do you think he's gone back on his promise, Bill?
I don't know, Ralph. Did he give you any reason to believe he might go back out in the desert, Stumpy?
You can't say he did, sonny. Nope, nary a hint.
What do we do now, Bill?
Well, we're going out on the trail anyway. Let's stop at Mark's store and find out if Joshua bought supplies. If he did, the Scotch Pine will have to wait until we find him. He's certainly in no condition to make a prospecting trip.
I'm sorry I can't help you, Bill. Old Joshua didn't buy supplies for me, nor has he been staying here.
You wouldn't be covering up for the old desert rat because he broke his promise to me, would you, Mark?
No, of course I wouldn't. It might cost Joshua his life if it did. I agree with you and the doc. Joshua's prospecting days are over. His heart being what it is.
Maybe he got his supplies from some other store in town, Bill.
Yes, Ralph, he could easily have done that. Let's spread out and ask all the stores if they've seen the old gent. Report back here in 2 hours.
No, I haven't seen Joshua Webb, Stumpy. Sorry.
Hey, Joshua didn't buy supplies for me, Bill.
Joshua ain't been in my store for a coon's age, Ralph.
Gray Wolf, he hasn't been near here for 6 months. Yes, Joshua was here, Bill. He bought himself some grub in the burrow. Also some prospecting tools. He was muttering something about he couldn't sit around and do nothing all the time.
And that's what I was afraid of. Thanks, Barry. Come on, boys. We're going after Joshua.
You mean out on the desert this time of year?
Stumpy, you don't mean that. We're going to get Joshua before the desert gets him.
Understand, I'm not holding back, but with 100 miles of hot sand out there, it's going to be mighty rugged.
I bet you could fry a steak in my saddle horn. Oh, this is terrible. How could Josh stand this year in and year out?
I don't know, Ralph. I think you have to be made of rubber and rawhide. Well, let's rest a minute, fellas. Whoa, Storm. Oh, boy.
Oh, now.
Thank the Lord, it's only a couple of more hours until sundown. We better wet our horses and burros' mouths, huh?
Good. It me take water bag and help Ralph.
Yeah, hold this pan, will you, Grey Wolf?
Now, don't you fellas take any more than that, either. It's better to drink more water at night to catch up on the dehydration that takes place during the day.
How do these old desert rats stand this heat? I don't even care to keep my eyes open, it's so hot.
120 degrees. No wonder Josh looked like prune.
Okay, let's push on, fellas. A high wind could come up and wipe out Joshua's trail. Let's follow it while we can.
Sand in my teeth, sand in my ears, sand in my eyes, and sand in my food and water. Why didn't Josh stay home instead of coming out here like an old fool?
What's the use of complaining, Stumpy? Got a job to do. Let's do it. I'm sure glad for sundown, though. After 3 days in this heat, it starts to wear on you.
Not only on us, Ralph, but on the animals, too.
Hmm.
Better all get some sleep. I want to push on as soon as the moon comes up. Let's shake a leg, fellas. We want to gain time before it gets too hot.
That's a rattlesnake. Huh? Watch the horses and burros. I'll get up.
Hold on.
Ralph, Eddie, those water bottles.
Watch them. Get that snake before we lose horses. Bill,
horses have kicked our water bottles in.
Oh, no. How many bags were damaged, Ralph?
All of them.
And the only water we have is what's in our canteens?
That's right.
That's very bad.
Yeah. Well, let's get the horses and burros and be on our way. Here, Storm.
You guess the best thing to do is go ahead, Bill.
Yes, Grey Wolf. There must be water somewhere close to Joshua's prospecting grounds.
Yeah, but we don't know where that is.
I'm beginning to have a notion as to the place. But we'll keep following the trail. Right now, it'd be more dangerous to go back than to go on.
How far we must go to trail, Joshua? He must stop someplace and dig.
Keep following the trail, Grey Wolf.
Bill, can't we have just a little water for ourselves?
Ralph, use your head. There's only a quarter of a canteen left. We must keep that for the horses. Even the burros will have to wait.
Far we go, Bill. Maybe we follow wrong trail.
I don't figure Josh would have come all this way.
Stumpy, let me tell you something. Remember when Josh told me all the gold wasn't in the desert?
Yes.
I remember.
To me, that means only one place. Lonesome Mountain.
There's water there. There's gotta be.
And what if you're wrong, Bill?
It'll be my last mistake. There's the mountain up ahead, fellas. There's a piece of Joshua's gear, fellas. We're on the right track.
Yes, but how much farther? I can't go on.
You've got to, Ralph. One more day should do it. We'll leave the burrows here, all our gear. Travel as light as possible. Let's go while we can. I can't...
Don't talk, Bill. We go on like you say. Nobody talk. Just ride until the horses drop and then walk and then crawl.
You can always die when you can't do nothing else.
Stand there all day and pour this cool water over my head.
And ruin your $10 shirt.
I not care. It's worth my life.
Fellas, look over by that flat rock. There's a man's hand.
Poor Josh. With water 100 feet away, he lay down and died.
Here is note. And some gold nuggets.
What's he say, Bill?
Well, he says, Bill Jefferson, I know you are following. My heart gave out. All the gold in the world wouldn't buy me water when I needed it. Not sorry dying this way. Bury me on Lonesome. That's as far as he got.
Well, he went just the way he wanted to go. Out on the desert in the mountains, looking for gold.
Ralph, Grey Wolf, get the burros and the gear. When you get back, we'll have a little service for Joshua Webb. Just before we bury him.
Do you think it was a gold fever made Josh break his promise?
Nope, I don't. I've got a notion Joshua knew his time was near and all he wanted to do was go across the desert and up into Lonesome Mountain to meet the Lord.
Well, I guess that's the story, boys and girls. The story of Joshua Webb, desert rat, who just wouldn't stay where he was put. Well, we'll see you next week for more adventure with
Ranger Bill!
Floor the way I do.
tell on you.
You're listening to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY. And Hank Williams with Your Cheatin' Heart, recorded on September 23rd, 1952. We also heard an episode of Ranger Bill entitled Burning Sands. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s, when the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Right now, the clue of the saber on this program of Cimarron Tavern, right after Gene Shepherd and Ferlin Husky sang a Dear John letter from 1953, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Fighting was all over, and the battle had been won. Then I opened up the letter, and it started, Dear John.
Dear John.
you please send back my picture? My husband wants it now. When I tell you who I'm wedding, you won't care, dear, anyhow. Now the ceremony has started, and I'll wed your brother, Don. Will you wish his happiness forever, dear John?
Cimarron Tavern, gateway to the Old West. Ride with Star Travis, Federal Scout, and Randy Martin on the trail of high adventure. Yesterday at Cimarron Tavern, a man dressed in the uniform of a captain of the United States Cavalry covered a bet in a card game with his saber. This so enraged Ma Buford that she paid the wager herself and drove the man from the Cimarron Tavern compound. Taking the saber into the tavern, Ma and Pa Buford made a startling discovery.
That man's a disgrace to the uniform of the Army, Pa. Wagering his sword in a gambling game.
Yeah, no good soldier do a thing like that.
Well, he won't get it back. He's unworthy of it. He needn't come poking around here to get it back, either.
It's a mighty fine-looking saber.
Yes, it is. Got gold on the hilt, see?
Yeah, it is gold, ain't it? Say, ain't that writing on the blade?
Huh? I didn't notice that.
What does it say, Ma?
Well, let me see. Captain Randy Martin, U.S. Army.
What? Say that again.
That's what it says. Captain Randy Martin, U.S. Army. It's there just as plain as day.
Well, that's Randy's name.
That's his name, all right.
What do you think, Ma?
I don't think. I know. Pa, this saber belonged to Randy's father.
You suppose so?
Of course it was his. Couldn't be nobody else.
But Randy's folks was killed on the trail by Indians more than 5 years ago. How'd that cavalry captain get hold of it?
I don't know. But I'm going to find out.
Well, how are you going to find out? That fella won't be coming back here after the tongue lashing you gave him, Ma.
Well, I know who can help us find out. Have you forgotten that one of the most famous scouts of the West is making Cimarron Tavern his stopping place?
You mean Star Travis?
Morning, Star Travis.
Oh, he wants folks to call him plain Star Travis. Anyway, what makes you think that he could help us find out about the saber?
I don't say he can, but I'm going to show it to him and find out if he can help us. What you doing with that saber?
I'm putting it on me. There. How do I look at it, Ma?
Now, you take that saber right off, Pa Buford. This is no time to be up to foolishness.
I always thought that I'd make a good officer in the Army. Always did want to wear spurs and tote a saber like this. Gives a man dignity, don't it?
Sometimes I think you need something to give you dignity, Pa. The very idea. Now, you take that saber off right this minute.
All right, all right. Don't rush me.
Randy and Morningstar Travis are down at the stables now, bedding down their horses.
Well, they ought to be back by now, seems to me.
Well, they're not back. And I want them here right now. You go get both of them.
Ma, I don't think we ought to let Randy see this saber. That is, if it really did belong to his father, it might upset the boy.
Randy's not easily upset. He's the one who can say for certain if it did belong to his father.
Maybe he won't remember. All sabers look alike, even if this one's got the name on it, as it has.
I said I wanted Randy to see it, and I'm going to show it to him. Now quit arguing with me, Pa Buford, before I lose my temper.
No need to do that, Ma. I'll go get him.
Don't you tell them anything about the saber. Let me do that when they get here. Understand?
Yeah, I'll let you do the talking. You usually do.
I'll be here waiting for you. Now get going.
I'm going.
Meanwhile, at the Cimarron Tavern stables, Star Travis, the government scout, and Randy Martin were getting acquainted as they fed and bedded down for the night the beautiful black horse Raven.
Where'd you get Raven, Mr. Travis? You don't see horses like that out in this country.
He's a Kentucky thoroughbred, Randy. When the government sent me out west, Raven was just a colt.
I brought him along, trained him myself, and named him Raven.
He's as slick and black as a raven, all right. Raven's a good name for him. You see, you named him after General Sam Houston, who was president of Texas?
Yes. Well, Sam Houston's one of my heroes, Randy.
Did folks call him Raven? Houston, I mean?
Yes, the Indians gave him the name. You see, Randy, he lived with the Indians when he was a boy.
You mean to say that the president of Texas lived with the Indians?
He lived with them, and he was a member of the tribe. They gave him the Indian name of Raven because of his long black hair and flashing black eyes.
I wouldn't want to live with a bunch of Indians. They'd probably scalp me, just like the Indians who killed my folks. I don't like Indians.
Well, I can understand why you wouldn't, Randy. But just the same, you'll find there are good Indians and bad Indians, just like there are good white men and bad white men. Color of skin has nothing to do with the goodness or badness of people, Randy.
I still don't like Indians. Get over there, Chief. Oh, glad, boy. Say, how do you like my horse?
Oh, Chief's a good animal. He's a very intelligent one, Randy. I believe you said you wrangled him yourself.
I sure did. Paul Buford and I saw him a couple of years ago, back yonder in the foothills with a herd of wild horses.
Yeah, how'd you catch him?
They used to feed in a box canyon back there. We just bided our time, used to practice sneaking up on the herd without them seeing us. We'd get on the off-wind side of them. Then one day we got close enough to use a riata.
Oh, a lasso, eh? Oh, steady, Raven, steady, boy. Well, you must have been pretty close to him.
Within 30 feet.
Knowing wild horses, I'd say you and Pa Buford were pretty good.
Oh, Pa Buford's in stock just like an Indian. He knows all their tricks. Anyway, we had a ride on this colt. He must have been about a year old then. We saw the herd moving down the canyon toward us.
Here they come, Randy. You got your rope ready?
Yeah, Pa, I'm ready. How about you?
I got my rope coiled and ready to toss. Now, don't miss this time, or we'll never get that colt.
I won't. Here they come. They're coming.
Steady, Randy. Steady. Throw it. Throw it.
Here it goes. Hey, I got him.
Hold him, Randy. Hold him.
I can't hold him. I can't hold him.
I'll get my rope on him.
Can't hold it.
There. There, we'll have to. He's throwing him off his feet.
There, he's down. Hurry, Pa. Don't let him get away.
I'll hog tie him. Look at him fight with you. Hold that rope tight, Randy.
I got a horse. He's mine. He's mine.
No, we won't have him if you don't keep that rope tight. Now, steady, boy. Steady.
What are you doing, Pa?
I'm getting his rope on his forefeet. There you are, boy. Now, ease up on that rope.
He's getting up. He's getting up.
Well, he'll have to get up sometime, Randy. Now's as good a time as any.
What'll we do with him now?
Just hold him steady for a while.
Oh, he's shaking all over.
Well, he's scared now. Whoa, boy. Whoa, fella. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We ain't gonna hurt you. Steady, steady, steady.
Jumping gophers, he's a beauty.
As fine a piece of horse flesh as a man could want. Now let's talk easy-like to him. See, he's quieting down, see? You better talk to him, Randy. He's gonna be your horse.
Uh-huh. Steady, boy.
Steady now, fella.
Steady there, boy. Nobody's gonna hurt you. Oh, boy.
So that's how you got Chief.
Yes, sir. Pa and I talked to him for hours. Little by little, he quieted down. And late that day, we let him into the corral here at Simmer and Tavern.
Who broke him to the saddle?
I did. I couldn't ride him at first, of course.
Oh, I imagine you couldn't. It'd take time.
Not so much as you'd think. First, we had to gentle him to where we could get him into a stall. And then we had to teach him to eat oats. He'd never eaten oats before. Now he's crazy about it. Well, after he got used to all that, Pa Buford put a halter on him, and I'd lead him all around the corral. Then about a week or so after we got him, we put a gunny sack on his back.
A gunny sack?
Sure. A sack that grain came in. But it was empty, of course, and we put it on Chief's back the first time.
Well, what did he do about that?
Well, he didn't like it so much. He backed his ears, mean-like, and switched his tail trying to knock it off.
Yeah, he had a lot of spirit, didn't he?
Oh, plenty of spirit. But he got used to that. Easy there, boy, Chief. Easy, boy. Then Pa Buford and I started putting a few pounds of grain in the sack each day. We increased it each time until finally Chief was packing a 110-pound sack of grain, and he didn't pay any attention to it at all.
Then came the saddle.
Yep.
Yeah, that's how we broke thoroughbreds when I was a kid in Kentucky, Randy. Take longer, but it's easier on horse and rider.
Well, when we put the saddle on him, he didn't even know the difference. Then Pa Buford told me to get in the saddle, easy-like.
I'll bet he knew the difference then.
He sure did. And he didn't like it. He threw me.
Hurt you?
No, he didn't throw me hard. He just tipped me over his head. You know, he didn't even move out of his tracks. He just stood there looking at me. He looked like he was laughing at me. But I got right back on him again. That time I was watching him mighty close. I'd seen the cowboys ride bad horses. I gripped my knees against him tight like they did. He bucked up a little, and then he decided I wasn't going to hurt him. And since then, well, Chief's been my horse.
Well, you and Pa Buford really know how to break a saddle horse. Why did you name him Chief? You said you didn't like Indians.
Well, when Pa and I used to watch him with the herd before we roped him, he used to hold his head up high, proud-like. After we roped him and broke him, he still held his head as high and mighty as ever, just like an Indian. You never saw an Indian with his head bowed down, did you, sir?
That's right. The Indian has spirit, a spirit no one's ever been able to break.
Mel Chief was like that, too. He had lots of spirit, and he still got it.
Well, you see, Randy, you didn't break Chief. You just won him over to your side. You treated him kindly, and you were fair to him. He soon learned to trust you. He had nothing to fear.
So do you think Chief's a good name for him?
Oh, you couldn't have named him better. Randy, you and I like horses. We're going to have a lot in common. I can see that now.
Maybe your horse, Raven, is a better one than Chief, because Raven's a thoroughbred. But Chief's a good horse just the same.
You don't have to be ashamed of Chief.
Maybe Chief and I can ride with you and Raven sometimes, huh?
Why not? I'm going to be at Simmering Tavern for quite a while, I think.
Jumping gophers, imagine.
Imagine what?
Well, that I'll be able to get to ride alongside of Star Travis. Mr. Travis, a famous scout.
Randy, let's have an understanding.
An understanding?
Yes. Now, you just call me Star. I'll call you Randy. It's much easier.
Oh, but Ma Buford wouldn't stand for that. You're a lot older than I am. Ma Buford will say that's disrespectful.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do about that. When we're in the presence of others, call me Sir. Otherwise, Star.
See, that's the way I talked to my father. He was a mean officer. Most of his men called him Sir, and so did I, when other people were around.
Good. Then it'll be easy for you, won't it?
Yes, sir.
Randy!
Star
Travis!
That's Pa calling.
Oh, he's calling both of us. Maybe supper's ready.
Hey, Randy! Star Travis!
Here we are, Pa, in the stable.
Yeah, he seems excited about something.
Hopefully he does.
Here you are. Here you are. Come on, quick.
Is something wrong, Pa Buford?
Oh, there's plenty wrong. Come on up to the tavern right off. Ma sent for both of you.
What's happened?
Can't tell you here. You both have got to come back up to the tavern. Come on.
Well, I'll lock the stable gate. Jumping gophers, Pa. I can't imagine why all the hurry.
I got them both, Ma. They was down to stables.
What's happened, Ma? Pa's all excited.
He's got a reason to be excited, Randy. You and Morning Star, come here.
You want me to?
Yep. I got something to show both of you.
Hey, where'd you get the sword?
Randy, I want you to take a good look at this saber. There.
Where'd you get it?
Maybe you mind where I got it. Take a good look at it.
I'm looking. Say.
Did you ever see it before, Randy?
Sure, I've seen this saber before.
Where'd you see it, Randy?
My father wore this saber. It was his. I can tell by the gold on the grip guard right there. See? And there's his name written on the blade.
That's why I sent for you and Morning Star Travis. I'll tell you where I got it.
Now that Randy Martin has positively identified her who was slain while en route to a Western Army post, what part will Star Travis, the government scout, play in tracing it to the hand of the killer? In tomorrow's story of Simmering Tavern, Randy will shed more light on the murder of his mother and father and his miraculous escape from the slayers. You have heard the second chapter of the new daytime serial written by Felix Holt. Listen again tomorrow and every afternoon, Monday through Friday. Your announcer is Bob Height. Simmering Tavern is directed by John Dietz for CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Thank you.
and when I thought of no other. And we sing our own love's refrain. Our hearts beat as one as we had our fun, but time changes everything. When you left me, my poor heart was broken. Our romance seemed all in vain. The dark clouds are gone and there's blue skies again, 'cause time changes everything. You, Mother Nature does wonderful things. I guess it's true for me and for you, 'cause time changes everything. You can change the name of an old song, rearrange it and make it swing. I thought nothing could stop me from loving you, but time changes everything. Good luck to you, may God bless you. I can't say I won't love again. You've gone your way and now I'll go mine, 'cause time has changed everything.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY, featuring Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys, with Time Changes Everything from 1940. We also heard an episode of Simmer and Tavern. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows, on the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.